Blog Talk Radio.
Megan Trainor fan all the way, I guess. Anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day, great night, great weekend, great week, the whole nine yards. I hope everybody's ready for Christmas. And I hope you're all behaving because Santa is watching you. Just what I tell you. You know that Rexy's watching you. You better behave yourself. How are you tonight?
Good.
Very good, very good. I'm glad to hear that. Two more. It's hard to believe it's already Christmas, doesn't it? It seemed like not that long ago. It was like the beginning of the year.
Right now it certainly feels like it.
Oh, honest to God, it's cold. We had a real temperature snap. It was between 45 and 50 some degrees all night last night. And at 1 o'clock, somewhere right around 12 or 1 o'clock this afternoon, boy, the temperature just dropped. And we were down into like the 20s, I think, and it was cold. I'm like, how does that work? Usually it gets colder at night than it is during the day. Nah, we were toasty warm last night. I'm like waking up, like throwing the blankets off of me in the middle of the night. And then this morning it was like, okay, not too bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had some snow. We had some rain. We didn't have a lot of snow, but we had some. Lots of rain, lots of cold, cold temperatures. But so far we've survived. So I guess that's a good thing, huh? Yeah, I'm doing too much.
Any day you can wake up.
Are you
next
all ready for Santa Claus? Yeah.
Oh hell no!
Are you all ready for
dog.
Santa? Hell no! Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, they always say the more the merrier, but I think they're full of scoop. I think you know, less is more. But. Well, you should be ready for Santa Claus because you never know when he'll show up. Yeah. She's like that, you know. Anyway, So, what was I going to say about tonight? I don't know. We have a lot of rights on the board, a lot of rights prompted by the Dear Santa letter to Santa contest, and some nice thoughts throughout. So
Dave's kind of sitting around out Tampa, but Richard, the hell would you, Rich? 48 degrees in Tampa. Hey, I take the 48. No sweat.
Yeah, right. 48 degrees sounds pretty good to me right about now.
Yeah, just love
you know
how that 48 degrees.
Right. Well, you know those locals down there in Tampa, they're all sitting around with their gloves and hats and scarves on, whereas us, you know, us tourists that go to Tampa say, wow, feels pretty good here. Yes, Richard, you know I speak the truth. He's on the board.
Hi, Richard. Hi, guys.
Merry Christmas. I never forget one year I was down in Port Canaveral in April. And we went on a casino cruise. And we walked up to the deck, and the wind was just blowing, right? And it felt so friggin' wonderful. It felt like a nice, warm spring day. And the fellow I was down there visiting with, he lived there, right? He lived in Winter Haven. And he looked at me, and he goes, oh, my God, you need a coat. You need a coat. Here, take my coat. I'm going, I don't need your coat. This feels wonderful to me. Everybody else is, like, walking around, like, freezing, and I'm like, oh, this is heaven. So, yep, that tourist thing is true. Yes.
Yeah.
So are you ready for Santa
Claus?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am glad to hear that. Yes, it's so hard to believe it's December. I just can't. I just can't believe it. It's gotten here in, like, no time, blink of an eye. Absolutely. Listen, fellas, we got another caller. We have Miriam with us. Hello, Miriam, and welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Hello, Miriam.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
There you go. Yeah, we're always happy to have a new voice. So are you ready for Santa Claus, Miriam?
Let's see. Just almost. We put the labels and stamps on our Christmas cards today, but we haven't put them out.
Yeah.
But I have my.
Yeah. Yeah. You said you had a touch of laryngitis, Miriam?
That's like chronic. I've had it for a month.
And she's
7'11"
with her voice.
Gotcha. Yeah.
My husband.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not sure if you're in a hurry, but what I can do is I can. Are you going to stay with us for a while, or are you going to read and run? I don't want to.
My husband Tim Slattery is going to read the poem. He just needs to know.
Right.
Okay.
Right, that's what
you
guys did the last show that we had, was that Tim read for you, I remember.
There you go.
He's a great reader.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and start the show off with your piece, Miriam. And Tim, whenever you're ready, I'll just put it up on the board, so feel free.
All right. This is Letter to St. Nicholas 2022 by Miriam Kilmer. When we were young, we wrote our letters to St. Nicholas. The younger ones dictated theirs to older ones who could actually write. I remember telling my grandmother that I wanted a real magic wand. A real pretend magic wand, my grandmother answered as she transcribed my list. No, I insisted, I want a real magic wand. A real pretend magic wand, she insisted right back. I gave up. We burned our letters in the fireplace, knowing they'd end up at St. Nicholas' door. We usually got what we had asked for, splendid gifts, but not the wand. Now, when I think of my deepest desires, I realize no magic could fulfill them. But surely, if I plead for one wish only, St. Nicholas will hear my prayer. This is my wish, if only everyone would act with kindness, justice, and respect toward everyone. What if the Russian army lived by this simple rule? Think of the joyful cries of Ukrainian children finding treats in their stockings, parents bending over them with tenderness, and no bombs. Imagine law enforcement officers and felons joining hands and singing Christmas carols instead of yelling insults and firing guns at one another. Suppose that landlords thought of their tenants first. Suppose that everyone had a living wage. Suppose that corporations valued service over profit. Imagine those who are able inviting impoverished widows to their table, adopting mixed-race children with special needs. Suppose we really understood how to raise happy, healthy, loving kids. Talk about an effervescent dream. No magic wand, no passionate speech, no liturgy, no letter to St. Nicholas will bring about a gentle, joyful world. But please, dear Santa, as your sleigh, powered by flying reindeer, speeds above our homes on Christmas Eve, as you approach our doors and chimney flues, grant to each of us the will to consider how a more merciful culture could take shape. Let each one have a change of heart, St. Nick. Then, with good faith, we must resolve to do our part, to make a start.
End poem.
End poem.
Great read, Tim.
Beautiful
Thank
job,
you very
man.
Much. And Richard, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this was a classic, almost like a poetic prayer. And it had all of the Christmas tropes in there. The wishes of the young being expressed as, you know, gifts, magic wands, and then transitioning it into where we are as adults, what we wish for in terms of the big dream, the globe, how we aspire to, as Lincoln would say, hearken to the angels of our better nature. So it, and you know, very contemporary as well, all the hitting of the notes on Ukrainian children and those that are suffering through war. Very skillful, right? And very well done. Good job.
Excellent. Thank you, Richard. And Jean, how about you?
You know, Miriam, I thought this was just a beautiful write. I thought it was very well said, and it was a fabulous wish for the world and the season. You know, God, if we could just make a wish, you know, to God, to Santa, to whoever, and make that happen, the world would be so much of a better place all the way around. And I love how you took that, the magic wand, you know, and kind of changed that up into what you did. I think that it was a skillful change throughout the poem. And, yeah, you know, we'll just all cross our fingers on this one for sure. So I definitely cross my finger and hope Santa brings you what you wanted. Absolutely. I think that, yeah, you just did a fabulous job with it. So thank you for writing for the contest. And, Tim, thank you for reading on the show. Much appreciated.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. I got to follow on the same footsteps as Jean and Richard there, Miriam. But I got a kick out of the intro going in from the youthful angle first. I can remember telling my grandmother that I wanted a real magic wand. A real pretend magic wand, my grandmother answered. No, I want a real magic wand. A real pretend magic wand, she insisted right back. I gave up. That kind of it hits on the note of how grandmothers kind of treat the situation and offer up that little tidbit of a wink, wink, nod, nod, yes, we'll get you a real pretend magic wand. And then you rolled into the transition through to the adult ranges, like both Gene and Richard hit on the thought with the children taking better care of those who actually need the help, the thought of actually extending hands across the water, so to speak,
in owning up to our own foibles while trying to work towards a more precious world, so to speak. That merciful end of things where we treat each other as we would wish to be treated. Yeah, we're still a bit far from that, but it's a lovely wish. And well done, peace to you there, Miriam. Thank you very much. And Tim, that was a great read.
Trucker. Thank you very much, everyone.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Comments, I really appreciate it.
Hey, and thanks for starting off the show tonight. I much appreciate that. You're welcome to stay as long as you like. We have plenty of poetry.
We'll stay.
Okay, hon. Rex, I'm going to have you lead into the next one, and this is called My Christmas Wish by Damn It Dave. Damn It Dave, here we go again. Sorry, I can't help myself. He brings out the badness in me. There you go.
My Christmas Wish by Damn It Dave. If I could make one Christmas wish and have that wish come true, it wouldn't take a second thought. I know what I would do. I'd look up at the Christmas star that shines above the trees and wish that there would be no more afflictions and disease. Then diabetes would be gone and cancer cells would die. No one would ever be sick again and plagues would pass us by. Though some may ask for selfish things, I'd hear compassion's call and make an altruistic wish that benefits us all. End quote. All right, Gene, we're going to start with you. Aha.
You know, I knew you were coming here because I put myself on mute. And I did, I know. Dave, I think this was, it's ironic how you do that. But Dave, I thought this was a great piece. I really did. I loved the thoughts throughout, you know. I loved how you started. I could make one wish. If I could make one Christmas wish and leave that wish come true and have it, I can't reach for nothing. Hey, my eyeballs. If I could make one Christmas wish and have that wish come true, it wouldn't take a second thought. I know what I would do. You know, I love the sway of the sound in my ear, and that's how I usually judge my rhyming poem when I listen to them or write them. And I think that that's wonderful. But, you know, of all the wonderful things, you know, though some may ask for selfish things, I'd hear compassion's call and make an altruistic wish that benefits us all. I think that that's a fabulous ending for that. I mean, in the center, you know, you brought in diabetes and cancer and all of that. And I think that that's a wonderful thought because so many people are affected by these, just those two things, you know, and there's so many different forms of cancer and diabetes. Well, there's, a few of those. And I think that it's a wonderful request, and I love it, and I hope all your Christmas dreams come true as well. I mean, you're not asking for anything the rest of us wouldn't want. So, you know, good luck with that. Chancy, you got that one? Okay.
Nice. Well said, Gene. Thank you. And Richard, how about you?
Yeah, you know, Dave, as I've come to become more familiar with his work, has this kind of pitch-perfect lyricism that shines through, and this one was no exception. You know, the rhymes are just classic, and it gives it that true Christmas feel. And regarding the content, you know, another beautiful aspirational poem, you know, asking us to heal the bodies that are ailing. So wonderful. Very well done.
Absolutely. Miriam, are you still with us?
Yes, no? She is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here, but we're on mute. We're listening live, but I better save my voice. Sorry, I wish
I
could.
Okay, no problem.
Okay,
not a problem. I'll hit on this one, though. Back-to-back wonderful pieces to open up the show. both walking on the same thought and token of what one wishes for the world, so to speak, but walking in different tones. This one walks generational thought with the idea of afflictions, disease, cancer cells, diabetes, everything that which afflicts us, so to speak, as a noted wish to be gone once and for all from our venue, our bodily autonomy, so to speak. The fact that, hey, we don't need any more invading particulates. We've got enough. Time to have those be gone permanently. I like the thought in that, Dave, and it's a wonderful sentiment. So thank you very much.
Now, we do have another caller. And I believe that this – oh, we have two. Now we have two. They're growing quickly. The first one I have is Naomi, I believe. Hello, Naomi. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Hi. Merry Christmas to come.
Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Rick. Who's that?
It's Richard.
That's Richard.
Oh, hi, yes. Richard. Hi. Hello, you three.
Naomi, did you happen to hear Dave's poem?
No, not at all. I just got on. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'll look at it.
Okay,
I'll look over it after. Okay.
Okay, not a problem. Okay, and our next call is by area code 706. Hello, 706. Who's calling, please? 706.
Hey, how's it going? This is Dan Ellison. How are y'all doing?
Hi,
welcome,
hello,
Dan.
Dan.
Welcome to the
hey, Dan.
Hey, good to hear all you guys every night. Happy holidays.
And happy holidays
you.
To you, too.
Happy holidays to you, Dan.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I did happen to catch that. I love Dave's stuff. Every time I see one of Dave's, I have to stop and look at it. So it was really well done,
mm-hmm.
Dave.
Excellent.
Great. Yeah. I have to agree with that. 100%. Let me see. I guess it's on me next.
Absolutely.
So here we go. Okay. Let me grab this one.
No more lions out of that
cat. This is called
Deer Sing.
I know. Tell me about it. I don't know. I might have a snowman up there today. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Dear Santa by Darkened Auras. And let me give it a word. Wait, I got to adjust my eyeballs first. Otherwise, I'll be talking God knows what. But we got to be good. Dear Santa, I used to love the presents. So many toys beneath the tree. Receiving was the best thing ever. So many material things for me. Dear Santa, I know you can't play God and bring my grandma back. And I know the angelic pets of my past will not be in your magical sack. Dear Santa, what I'd really love this year is to get my family out of debt so we can know what it's like to not worry and stop being gutted with a curette. Dear Santa, I just want to know what it's like to not have to look to see if you have enough money for something without needing to see your checkbook. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this is very sincere, eh? It's like a lot of families nowadays, you know, you're always checking. You're always those families that are at the cash register and they're all, you can almost see them praying. You know, please, you know, let the total not be over what I can afford. Very well written. You know, I love the couplets. They look like little Christmas trees every time, Dear Santa, you know, the way she wrote it. And I just love, you know, you can't bring my grandma back. That's so sad there. And I know the angelic pets of my past will not be in your magical sack. so well written throughout. And, you know, this is just a lovely, lovely, endearing piece by Dark and Doris, for sure. Bravo.
Bye. Thank you very much, Naomi. And Dan, how about you?
I think this one touches on a lot of different things that are really interesting. First, I like the way it's written from a child's point of view. And, you know, starting out as a child, Christmas is a lot of material things. And it's sad that it is as commercialized as it is for the kids that don't have as much as some other families, you know, and they have to cope with that a lot earlier than other kids do, you know. So in a lot of ways, this is a kind of a tearjerker. I do think that the children like that do come to realize certain things a little bit faster, such as themes of death and things of that more serious adult nature, like money worries and things like that. So I thought this was really well done. And like I said, it's a little bit of a tearjerker, but very well written.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you very much. And Richard, how about you?
Yeah, I've got to agree with Naomi and Dan. It's very well written. Financial hardship is just so tough. And the other thing is that we kind of, in our society, we kind of get shame around not having enough. You know, there's this weird thing, I think more in America than where you are, Naomi, in Canada. But there's this weird thing where if you're going through financial hardship, somehow it's our fault as opposed to just the way that that things are. So from a kid's perspective, mm-hmm. I think it's very difficult for them to understand. And I think that pain comes through. It's very emotive, right? Very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Richard. All right, Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, you know, I said it was a nicely penned piece by Dark and Doris, and it's such a sad truth for so many of us. You know, and I hope that all her Christmas dreams do come true. I want to thank her for sharing, and Merry Christmas to her and her family. It's a sad state for so many people everywhere, you know, not having enough money and you know, stressing over just the daily expenses of just staying alive, you know, the electric bill, the food bill, you know, all that, let alone, you know, you come up to Christmas and here you are, okay, now what do I do? When I was younger and I had two kids at home, you know, I was widowed, so it was me and the two kids. And when it came Christmas time, as frivolous or stupid as I may sound, it was to hell with the bills, Christmas first. That was guaranteed in December. All my bills were going to be paid late, and I would do Christmas.
Yes.
And then I'd start begging everybody to forgive me, because that's the way it had to be for me. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
their fault, so they should not have been expected to suffer. And I don't mean suffer as in, oh my God, you know. But why should they ever feel that? And that's the way I handled it. And so I get it. I totally get this. And you know, I really do. I hope her dreams do come true, because it would be so nice for everyone not to have to feel that way. You know, the reality of that? Yeah. It's a tough one. That's a tough one. But great job, Dark and Doris. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much, Jean. I do like that note in the first stanza, the thought to what it used to be like, and then the idea of, hey, I'm not asking you to bring back that which I know I can't have because they're gone. And then that transition into wanting to help out the family as a whole because of, hey, you know what? Christmas time can be really hard on people. And the fact that times like this are not making it any easier because everything is skyrocketing. It's not just the food. It's not just the rent. It's the power, everything. So the pocketbooks are getting tight, and then all of a sudden you're counting pennies because, hey, will I make the month before the next round comes in? So I understand this, and it is really a hard time. So I'll echo Gene's angle. I hope something clears way for you all to enjoy the holidays and the new year on a better footing. Thank you very much, DA.
Excellent. Okay, well, this is going to bring me to Richard. Richard, if I get you to read the next one for us, it's called A Message to Santa by T. Perry. 898. Yes. I almost forgot the number.
Okay, so, yeah, this is T. Perry, 898. It's called A Message to Santa. Gift us all with endless patience and a smile full of love. Recreate a golden rainbow in the heavens high above. Bless each with the joy of sharing. Bring back happiness and hope. Drive away the tears and heartache. Give us strength. Help us cope. Not for me a brace of presents. I've no need of useless things. All I want is peace and kindness and an end to suffering. I ask not for endless trinkets or the music of applause. Grant my wish and make me happy. Mine's a just, noble cause. In my heart, I've come to understand that pain is meant to be. And I know that it's quite impossible set the whole world free. And to take my gifts and treasures, all the goodness I adore, and then redirect my blessings to the helpless and the poor. End of poem.
Great read, Richard. Thank you very much. And Dan, we're going to start with you, please.
Okay. I think the meter and the rhyme are all on point, and it just flowed really well, and you were right. Richard read it wonderfully. This whole episode is going to be a tearjerker, isn't it? it's just the message inside is just so lovely. It's just you know, I don't need to give it to someone who does, you know, and I think that's just a great message to have, and I think, you know, so many things we wish for just really unobtainable, but this is something that we all could do, you know, and sadly we don't mostly, but maybe we could all get better. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, it's wonderful. It's beautiful.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. I agree with your sentiment on that. Thank you very much. And Naomi, what about you?
Yeah, I think this whole poem encompasses all that the spirit of Christmas should be, you know, that giving that giving to others, and, you know, the setting the whole world free, wishing everyone joy and happiness, you know, sharing it, and that they don't have any more tears or heartache, and that they have the strength to cope, that they all live in peace and with kindness. I think, yeah, it really shows here in this poem all that the Christmas spirit should be. And a lovely, lovely piece by T. Perry here, just so beautifully written, you know, such impeccable rhyme and meter throughout. And such a wonderful message.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Richard, you got to read it. How about you? What'd you think?
Yeah, well, you know, it really was a joy to read. The lyricism was just natural. And I hadn't read it before the show. And yet it just melted right in my mouth. I just was able to fall in, which is the mark of good lyrical rhyming poetry. And of course the message of hope was very well stated throughout, and those last lines, and then redirect my blessings to the helpless and the poor. Just, you know, it had that kind of Charles Dickens, God Bless Us Everyone. So very well done.
I like. I was thinking of Henry, the gift of the Magi. But yeah, I get you on that.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought that this was just an excellent write by T. Perry. Beautifully expressed, and I think he really met the concept of the contest as well. Great rhyme and meter throughout, and I loved each of the stanzas. I really did. And I went to grab the last one, and then I went up to the top one, and I was like, I don't know. You know, I could have grabbed any of the three and been satisfied for highlighting any of them in my thoughts. But I really did the last one. I thought that it tied things up nicely with a bow. In my heart, I've come to understand the pain that it's meant to be and know that it's quite impossible to set the whole world free. Can I take my gifts and treasures, all the goodies I adore, and then redirect my blessing to the helpless and the poor? What a beautiful, you know, thought there. You know, I don't need it. I'm okay without it. And, you know, please give it to someone who it'll make them happy. It'll do something nice for them and they'll appreciate it. You know, and I think that was, you know, well met in that stanza. So great job, T. Perry, as always. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Nice. Great comments, everybody. And you're right, Gina. You can't pick this apart and ring in this and that because it all works on the very same tone. I think the note is as you get older, you realize there's you don't require a whole lot of things than you've already had during the course of your day and life. So the idea is, hey, you know, less is more when you get older because you've already captured a lifetime of things over the 40, 50, 60 years, whatever. So the idea of, hey, push it forward to the next, those who might actually need, is a great gesture of thought. Hey, you know, we could all live with a few lesser things in our lives to bundle up and put away, never to see the light of day for one reason or another. So great piece there, T. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, right back on you.
Okay, now I can do it. Who's T now? Oh, Naomi, I have one for you. This is just falling in line nicely. the next piece I'm going to put up is by Teresa Shreshenkov, and it's Dear St. Nick. So whenever you're ready, Naomi.
Okay. Dear St. Nick. Dear St. Nick, this year all I ask is that my friends and family know just how much I love them. Also, I ask that you bring my brother back. Oh, what I would give just to see his face again and to remember his voice. Although I do know you cannot bring him to me. There's no words to describe all the joy that it would bring. Just one more Christmas with him. End poem.
Nicely done, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Richard, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is a really powerful one. Christmas brings people to mind that are no longer with us, that used to celebrate with us. And it can be a time of longing and mourning and sadness. And it really comes through, especially that final stanza, although I do know you cannot bring him to me. There's no words to describe all the joy that it would bring for just one more Christmas with him. You know, it just, the words kind of just fall, and the sadness, it hits me right in the gut, right where it's supposed to. So very powerful.
Excellent. Thank you, Richard. Jean, how about you?
I said, oh, that Santa could bring such a gift to you. You know, I thought it was well penned and nicely done. And my thoughts on that were, Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how to express what I'm thinking, but I think that it was just really well penned. And it is a tearjerker because there's all of us. We all have someone that we miss on the holidays. And, it's just not easy. And to just want that one more day, to be able to get that one more day would be just incredible for all of us. And for everyone who feels that way, you know, I hope this can at least bring you a dream of that person to meet those wishes. And yeah, I know it's not Santa, but I believe in Santa Claus, so I have to be that way. Thank you, see, but thank you, Teresa, so much for sharing this with us, and great job, wonderful race.
Thank you, Keen. How about you, Dan?
Pretty much what everyone else said. It is a time to reflect on the people that don't get to share it with us, you know. And I do like the rhyme and flow, but this is everything a poem should be. It takes you on a ride. It immerses you. You know exactly what she's feeling through, you know, people that are no longer in your lives. And it delivers all the emotions that you want a poem to do. So I think this is perfect, in my opinion. It's brutally honest, and that is a beautiful thing to read.
Nice. Thank you very much, Dan. And Naomi, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, very heartfelt, you know, poem. Missing that person, you know, that's no longer with us. Missing that person that's no longer with us, especially at Christmas time. I think it was Richard or Dave that was mentioning, you know, that Christmas time is not only a time that we rejoice with people, you know, that are with us, but we also remember those who are no longer with us. And this is just, a very loving poem, message to spend just another day with that loved one that has passed away. You know, like Phil was saying, if we only had that one more day. And very, very heartfelt, right, and comes straight from the heart. So beautifully written, Teresa. Bravo.
Great comments, everybody. And since you all hit on the very same note, I'll offer one thing. You can have that one more day. Why don't you put the extra dinner place at the table when you sit down?
Mm-hmm.
Raise your glass and have a toast and have that Christmas present under the tree that each of you can open up as a note in remembrance. That is the best way to honor and celebrate them all at the same time while still missing them, but having that little tidbit of them being in the room there at the moment with you.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm back to you.
Okie dokie. Dan, are you up for a read?
Sure.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is Santa's Wish by Daniel Duhan.
All right. I'm pulling it up. Like you said, this is Santa's Wish by Daniel Duhan. Old St. Nicholas of Lore, please use your magic stardust to all the boys and girls. Let each one receive the gift under the tree this year and send your healing love to those who are suffering from serious diseases like AIDS, cancer. May there be no child that suffers under your watch, especially at Christmas time, but for one magical night, find relief from pain. Hear their tiny heartbeats filled with hope and visions of a bright future. Fill you with warm love. And please bring snow for Christmas as a sign of your pack to the children to hold them near and dear to you. Santa, most generous of elves, who always keeps the children's hearts close to you, may you always have a twinkle in your eyes from children's love. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. And Naomi, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, this is an amazing poem by Daniel Zwan. Santa's most generous of elves who always keeps the children's hearts close to you. May you always have a twinkle in your eye from your children's, from children's love. Just the way he talks there, to about all those boys and girls over the planet Earth wishing that there's no they have no more suffering, that their love, their futures be bright, filled with warm light. And, I love that little note that he added in with, please bring snow for Christmas as a sign of your pact to the children, to hold them near and dear to you. This is beautiful all the way through. Wonderful write by Danielle here.
Hi, thank you very much, Naomi. Richard, how about you?
Yeah. This is really a beautiful piece. Christmas is truly about kids, and so to keep that as the focal point of healing their tiny heartbeats and bringing their visions of a bright future to light, restoring that innocence, honoring that innocence and bringing it to fruition is a wonderful aspirational poem. Nicely done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard. All right, Jean, we're up to you. What do you think?
You know, I thought this was a great poem. I thought it was full of wonderful sentiments throughout. I had to pick. I couldn't just take one answer. That would be wrong. Although I could have pulled a bunch. But let each one receive a gift under the tree this year, and send your healing love to those who are suffering from serious diseases like AIDS and cancer. May there be no child that suffers under your watch, especially at Christmas time, but for one magical night, find relief from pain. What a wonderful wish for all the children that they would all be pain-free. Ah, God, if all these things should come true, how wonderful things would be. Thank you, Daniel, as always, for writing for the contest, and you did a great job with this. Thanks for sharing.
Nice, Jean. Thank you. And Dan, you got to read it. How about you?
One thing I noticed about this one that's, I know I got in the show a little late, but this one to me has a bit more of a whimsical feel to it, even though it is still a heavy, heavy subject. And I think the word choices were really well done. Hear their tiny heartbeats filled with hope. It took me into hospital rooms. You know what I mean? Again, I like some of the whimsical, and I also kind of wonder at the title's choice, because it's in the title choice is actually Santa's wish, and it there is a Santa, and then and I have no reason to say that there isn't,
that's
this
right,
would be his wish. right, you'll never catch me saying that. But no, I think the word choices were really well done here, and I did enjoy the whimsical, and even with such a heavy subject, it had light touches to it that I really enjoyed.
Nice, Dan. Right. Thank you very much. I agree with you on that, and I think there's a nicer underlying note in this that that shines through. It kind of hits on the idea, because of the language, it kind of hits on the idea of restoring a little bit of childhood wonder and awe in adults, so that they can also enjoy those moments with a bit more candor and And you know, freedom without the tarnishment, so to speak, and things. So I like that note in it as well. So thank you very much, Daniel. All right, Jane, we're back on you. Dogpile on the rabbit.
No, it's Christmas. You can't do that, silly. God.
Hey, I've got 2 days. I can still dogpile on the rabbit. Because it's not Christmas yet. Besides,
the
bugs would have a lot of fun with that.
There you go. Let me add this next piece for you, Rex, because that brings me back to you. And this is Santa, I Remember You by Magic Light. So whenever you're ready.
Santa, I Remember You by Magic Light. Santa, I remember you and all those notes I sent. And sometimes you remember too and brought the right present. If I could send you one more note, I'd write it from the heart, the truest words I'd ever wrote, but find it hard to start. I'm at that age of in-between, of old but not quite done. If life's a stage, I've played my scene, no encores for this one. I've made mistakes along the way, too many to retract, a gift of hindsight from your sleigh, or dished out, I expect. Soon my letters, they dried up, it's then I did realize that I'm a teen, I'd better stop believing you fly skies. Those magical, expectant dreams of innocence long gone, replaced with selfishness, it seems, my life was now redrawn. So Santa, please remember me, the boy who lost his way, sitting by a Christmas tree to share your special day. My present is a letter, and the day is drawing near, to say that things are better, and my CT scan is clear. And boom. All right, Jean, we're starting on you with this one.
Ah, well, you know, I like Magic Light. I think I've read a few things of his, and I have to say I thought they were all wonderful. This, when it started out, I was like, okay. And then it was going a little further, and I went, okay. But that last stanza, boy, I'll tell you. I just, it really, you know, it hit the note with me. So Santa, please remember me, the boy who lost his way, sitting by a Christmas tree to share your special day. My present is a letter, and the day is drawing near to say that things are better, and my CT scan is clear. Wow. I think it's wonderful. I do. I really do. The lead-in is wonderful, but that last stanza really is the one that got me good. So great job, Magic Light, and thank you so much for sharing. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jean. And Dan, how about you?
Off mute. This was wonderfully done. Again, I do enjoy the rhythm and the meter going. The flow is perfect, on point. I think the word choices are really well done. They're not, I wouldn't say they're, you don't have to break out the soul, you know what I mean? Which I think is really good a lot of times for especially poems like this, but it's actually really kind of hard to define because it almost goes through stages. And I felt that with the writing too, as he talks about different stages of his life. And again, that last line is super powerful, but I just really enjoyed, again, I guess the stages of it. I thought that was really well done.
Great point there, Dan. Thank you very much. Naomi, what do you think? Naomi, are you mutating?
What?
She
dropped and came back. Here she is. Hello, Naomi. Welcome back.
Sorry, I have two buttons, one to mute and one to hang up. And I keep mixing up
Don't
between
the
two
the
of them.
Don't touch the button.
I know. I really like this poem by, Magic Light. And, you know, I'm with Phil there, you know, especially the last stanza really got to me. To see things are better and my CT scan is clear, but also the idea of that little boy who lost his way, sitting by a Christmas tree. Those lines really got to me. A wonderful poem all through, wonderful meter and rhyme as magical I can do them. I know him more for his more humorous writes, but, he's a wonderful writer, awesome talent, and great Irish man. So, bravo on, on this write.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Richard, you're up. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with Dan. I thought that this was a great storytelling Christmas poem that takes us from innocence to cynicism and finally to the aspiration for redemption, nicely crafted throughout. It had that Christmas Carol by Dickens feel to it.
Absolutely. Between you and Dan, I agree with both of you on that. And it's kind of funny that I offered up that comment on the previous poem, and it fits right in with this one because that last stanza walks right back to the first stanza. I remember you, all those notes I sent. In that childhood note to awe and wonder, because he's gotten that that notation to the CT scan is clear. So he's almost back in that youthful guise of the little boy under the tree, and he's actually spending that very first Christmas again as something, as a joyful note and with glee in his eyes. So well done there, magic. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Well, as a side note to this poem, I was wandering through the comments below. And someone said, not read a poem of yours in a while. I see your magic poetical light is still shining brightly. Not sure if the last line is autobiographical, but if it is, good luck. Many thanks, Roger, and your lovely comment. And yes, it is biographical. Take care and thank you again. So that makes it all the more touching for me. So you're in our thoughts and prayers, magic light. Please take care of yourself. I'll be looking for a light next year, if not before. Okay, so. Just wanted to say that. Okay. I'm going to read this next one. And this piece is called Lonely Christmas by Neutron Bomb. And here we go. See if Christmas was real. Our mom and dad would read a rickety spined copy of The Night Before Christmas. We peeled ourselves out of bed at dawn to check the stockings hung with hope for those items we had sat on Santa's lap, spirited and sprightly. Except for the youngest, whom bawled at the sight of the bawdy beard and skin that sang with rosacea and cheeks pink with first capillaries. Adulthood set in and I was privy to family warmth and the passing of the baton to the next generation of wonderment, puppies and toddlers ripping at the wrapping paper. So carefully curated by dear Santa and now strewn across the slate floor. A mass of chaos and assembly, batteries not included. But I was reticent of the loneliness and the festive season that the festive season brings. For those in isolation, for those estranged from their mother's self-caress, without a spread of ham, roast, and seafood to fill their bellies ending the day. Napping by the television, cuddled up in the air conditioning with warm throw rugs and a cold beer. Dear Santa, may we all take stock and show compassion to those without a home, to rest their battle-torn heads, whom will cuddle up with their faux babies, sipping on whiskey, meat, reminiscing about the kinder time when there were kindred brothers and sisters and cousins to don a paper crown and argue over whom would rip symbol from novelty Christmas bonbon and poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start with you, please?
I like a lot of what was written here as well. And it doesn't really get down to so much as the prompt, I think, until the last two stanzas where it really brings that home. but we're and it's a common theme we've been seeing as far as remembering those that do not have as much as we do, you know, and sometimes we don't have, but we still have a lot more than others do, you know. But everything that leads up to that is what I really enjoyed the most, because it brought back so many memories. And the one that had me smiling was, except for the youngest, who bald at the side of the body beard and sang it with, and again, that sang with Hey, how do you say that?
Rosacea.
And cheeks pink with burst capillaries. That's something. If you have kids, you've probably seen that scene before. And that's just one small example. And it was chock full of stuff like that. So really well written.
Yes, it was. Thank you very much, Dan. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, let me check red again.
Good grief. No, that was the mute button. It was the mute button. My fault. My gracious. Me and the buttons. I'm with Dan there. You know, the stanza that really made me giggle was the one with the youngest bawling on the Santa Claus's lap, because, you know, that happened to me so often, having four kids and four grandchildren, seeing that again and again. No, who is this old man? Don't touch me. But, he does have that theme of giving to others, you know, the less unfortunate coming towards the end. And, you know, I just love Neutron Bomb's writing. She's has such a way with words, such an elegant write. Just beautifully put all the way through.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Naomi. And Ricky, how about you?
Yeah, so this was actually the poem that inspired me to write for the Dear Santa show. Neutron showed me this one, and I was impressed, as always. Her work is stunning. You know, the metaphors and the storytelling, the power of language that she brings to all of her writes. And this one had a beautiful, raw contrasting of personal and societal experiences of Christmas, especially like that transition. But I was reticent of the loneliness that the festive season brings for those in isolation, for those estranged from their mother's soft caress. Just very powerful work. She never disappoints.
Not at all. Thank you, Richard. All right, Jean, it's your turn.
Well, first off, I'd like to welcome Lou Yu Wild Dove to the show.
Lou.
Hi, Lou.
Hi, Lou Yu.
Hi, Lou Yu.
Hey.
I know, I saw her. Lou Yu, what are you doing?
That's okay. I just was listening to you read this beautiful poem by Neutron Bomb. She brings up so many traditional, and, you know, we say old-fashioned, but I don't really consider it old-fashioned in as much as it is that when you do things, you know, like making popcorn and having the kids string it around the Christmas tree, you know, cutting up, getting things cooked and working together as a family. And I thought she caught that, you know, especially with somebody coming in the house dressed as Santa, which always terrified, which I got a big kick out of that kid. But, you know, it's a time to remember the loneliness that people suffer. And, you know, you can take them the plate of food or invite them over. And, you know, I just love, you know, this is the thing to remember. And, in fact, I talked to Phil about this today, about ham today. Without a spread of ham, roast, and seafood to fill their bellies into the day, napping by the television. I mean, everybody would just pass out on the floor, the beds, the couches, whatever, cuddled up in the air conditioning. Of course, everybody's got the heater on, depending where you live. and, you know, the throw rugs and the, you know, just the simple things, wonderful, and how happy it makes us not only reading about them, but sharing it with each other.
Nice, Lou. Thank you.
You're the welcome, Rick.
It's up to you now, Jean.
Well, that's okay. I'm good. You know, I thought that this was a well-done piece by Neutron. Wonderful family memories, you know, that her growing older and the passing of the baton. But what a great take on the subject of loneliness that so many must deal with, you know, this time of year. I thought it was very well expressed, and, you know, and God bless you and yours, Neutron, and thank you for sharing with us, as always. Excellent piece.
Great comments, everybody. I thought this was filled with a lot of whimsy, and there were some harder notes in there, but they weren't so harsh that they took away from everything else. They kind of blended well together, offering up both ends. That note with the youngest one and Santa was well done because everybody's seen that scene. But there were a couple other things like puppies and toddlers ripping at the wrapping paper, a massive chaos assembly. Chaos and assembly. Batteries not included. A little touch there. Yeah. Damn it, what's about the batteries? And someone's rushing out to the store to see if they can find some batteries, and there's never any left. So a note there. And then who will cuddle up with their fur babies? Another nice touch. And the last couple lines, don a paper crown and argue over whom would rip the symbol from novelty Christmas bonbons. Another lighthearted note. Surrounded by a couple of harsher ones. Well, a couple of more harder notes of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done, Newton.
Wonderful.
All right, Jean, we're back on
okay.
You.
Okie dokie, let me see now. I want to put the next piece up by Heartthrob. And we have an audio for this one, which I think is a first for me. I don't think I've ever had an audio by Heartthrob before, so... This is Dear Santa, I Know Who You Really Are, by Heartthrob. Yeah, let me hit that button. Oh, no, wait, I swear I did. Wait a minute, maybe I don't. Oh, no. No, there must be another one. I'm so sorry. Let me see. Let's make it. Son of a gun. Okay. Lou, can I get you to read this one for me?
Yes, ma'am. It would be my pleasure.
That's okay.
Okay, just a second. I'm on my phone, and my phone just went down. Okay, I'm getting there.
Of course.
Of course that's what's going to happen when I have to read. Okay, here we go. Dear Santa, I Know Who You Really Are, by Heartthrob. 'Tis the season to be thankful. Gift the immaculate birthing of a child. All sins are washed away. Sacrificial lamb grants forgiveness. This style. Santa is a myth, many centuries old. I've never seen a jolly fella in a red suit or a bunch of presents to behold. The gift of love comes from his spirit. Acknowledge three persons in one. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Come all ye people, have some. 'Tis the reason for Christ much. Caroling angels do abound, as white driven snow cleanse the earth, goodwill to all folk below. A wish for peace, let the bloodshed stop. We're all one big family. Cast the devil under the rock. End poem.
Great read, Lou. Thank you very much. Jean, we're going to start with you. Aha.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine by me. I think that this is a wonderful poem. And, you know, each year we have some people who tend to like want to say, oh, no, it's not Santa Claus. Yeah, I get that. I get that. I think that to me, Santa Claus is the personification of the spirit of giving. no way do I think that we all should cast the idea of God and Christ aside and pick up the thoughts of Santa Claus. But I respect the fact that you acknowledged him in this piece. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. That's my belief. Some people wouldn't agree with that either. But it's okay. I get it. This is just supposed to be a soul-searching contest. And there your soul has led you here. So great piece, wonderfully written, and well expressed. So thank you for sharing with us, as always. Wonderful job.
Thank you, Jean. And Dan, how about you?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is a, you know, like a religious Christian piece. And, you know, I was raised a certain way myself. And I think it's great that you can always write your truth. And this is obviously this author's truth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everyone will get this. You know what I mean? And that's fine because not everything is written for everyone. And but as far as the writing itself, And some of the choices and things that are done in it, that's kind of what I'd rather touch upon because of the other things, you know, that might be offensive to some people. And this time of year, people do tend to get offended easy. So it, just ignoring some of that stuff, I like some of the choices, like as far as how it's a little bit kind of informal in places. Like I've never seen a jolly fella in a red suit or a bunch of presents to behold. Come all ye people, have some. You know, I'd like that. It's kind of like a common, the common, you know, just like you're talking to your buddy, you know, and I do like that. And it's mixed well with more poetic phrases and stuff like that. So it kind of flows from one to the other. And I really enjoyed that. And I think the ending is funny. I'm sorry, I do. Cast that devil under the rock. But I don't know if they were going for funny, and you know, if I took it the wrong way, that's me, that's on the reader. But I enjoyed it, and I always enjoy a little bit of humor, so I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
Excellent. Great comment there, Dan. Thank you. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of with Dan. We are with this piece, I kind of took it the same way, so don't worry, Dan. And, you know, I just take, you know, three lines from this, you know, away, which are really important and an all-important message. A wish for world peace. Let the bloodshed stop. We're all one big family. And, you know, I think that's the most important in the message there. So, you know, bravo, you know, for spreading that message. Great piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Richard, how about you?
So I have to say, when I read the title, it was a good thing that it had the painting underneath because I've seen a meme that says, Dear Santa, or it says, Santa, I know who you really are. And it's a picture of Odin. It could have gone that way. But speaking to the poem at hand, obviously a beautiful expression of faith and beautifully written. And, you know, how could you argue with an expression of faith that calls for peace? And if only we were able to accomplish that, you know, this would truly be heaven on earth. So can't argue with any of it. Wonderful.
Excellent. All right, Lou, you got to read. What about you?
You know what? I really liked about her poem. Yes, you know, a lot of traditions, we go back and some of them are inlaid with facts and myths. You know, and you know, there's not everybody celebrates Christmas. Everybody has different beliefs, you know, but some can basically take the gist out of it. You know, I really liked also what Naomi said,
Let me get it, because I was thinking about where she says, in a white-driven snow, cleanse the earth, goodwill to all folk below. You know, every year we wish there would be peace, and we wish things were different, and we wish things that would change. And, you know, and those are sometimes Christmas wishes. And, you know, I would love to see people not be killing each other for so many different reasons, and that we would learn to live with each other no matter who we are, because we are all human. And I really liked how she ended that. And she said that this is about love and hope. And I really thought that she caught this, because this is something we would want with our family and what for our family and friends.
Absolutely.
Nice, Jean. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Let me see now. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Richard Wiseman, in case anybody didn't know him. He's that Southern Golden. Yeah, not that long ago. This is called To the Man Behind the Red and White Fur Suit. So here we go. And I do have a recording for this one, guaranteed.
Ooh.
And here we go.
To the Man Behind the Red and White Fur Suit by Richard Wiseman. To the man behind the red and white fur suit, as one who doesn't don a shiny golden cross. I've never written one of these before, but no, letters can bring magic, even more so when intoned aloud. So here goes. I ask that your red and white suit spreads like a blanket to cover those without. I ask for empathy to flow from the warmth of your ruddy cheeks to those huddling for shelter neath the rain of bombs. I ask that your belly laugh lightens broken hearts, for your snow-kissed eyes to embrace the wounded child within, that your love for the missus rains down like a tropical thunderstorm, soothing all from oppression's heat. I ask that each turn of your reindeer sparks growth and fellowship, that every city fills with paternal light so that smiles spread quicker than viruses, and a wintry healing mist rises north to envelop all. End poem.
Great read, Richard. Thank you for the sound. It's much appreciated. All right, Jean, we're going to start with you.
I think she said she'd be right back.
Oh, then I guess you're going to start, Lou.
You put me on the spot, Miss Rexy. Okay, Richard, I have got to say, this is such a beautiful, touching poem that, for me, touched my heart because of all the things that we see going in society. And that, you know, at least, you know, once a day, you know, sometimes all it takes is one gift of a loving heart of gratitude that can carry a person through the next year, even a child, you know, when people are oppressed or hurt or having such a hard time in life, it is that one act of kindness that you will always carry with you. And hopefully it will blossom and continue to carry on. Beautiful poem. I really love this.
Thanks so much.
Nice. Thank you, Lou. Dan, how about you?
Actually, it's going to be kind of hard for me to comment on this one because I can't read it in front of me. I'm sorry. I had to step away myself, but I brought the phone with me. I will say that I did enjoy hearing it and the flow, and I thought that there were some really good word choices in there, but I'm trying to – was one snow kiss or something to that effect? I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. But I thought some of the word choices really kind of resonated with me. I thought it was very well, almost sculpted would be the best word for it. But, again, I'm kind of a visual person, so it's kind of hard for me to comment on it. But it sounded really well. I can tell you that.
You're right about that, Dan. It's for your snow-kissed eyes to embrace.
I enjoyed that. I thought that line stuck with me because I was trying to remember, you know, keep as much as I could, but at the same time experience it. And I did enjoy the experience. I can tell you the feelings behind it, but I can't give you, like, individual without seeing it.
Thank you, Dan.
That's
Naomi,
okay,
how about you?
Yeah, I love how you, like, you know, Dan just said it was, you sculpted this piece. It's as if, you know, you took at each part of Santa and you grew out of it. You know, I asked that your red and white suit spreads like a blanket to cover those without the empathy of your ruddy cheeks, you know, the empathy flow with warmth, you know, from the, like your ruddy cheeks. Your belly laugh lightens the hearts. And, you know, and each turn of your reindeer sparks grow in fellowship. So I love how you wrote the whole piece from things that Santa, that we know Santa for being, you know, with his red and white suit, his cheeks, his belly laugh. You know, riding his reindeer. I love how you took all those familiar things about Santa and you made this into such an amazing, touching poem that speaks about, you know, your wishes for all humankind in such a clever and well-written way. So bravo on this piece, Richard. Really, really well written, very intelligently and cleverly, and so well done.
Naomi.
Excellent, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Rich, so I got to start with that first stanza, because you hit on a motif right in the middle of that. As one who doesn't don a shiny golden cross, I've never written one of these before, but no letters can bring magic, even more so when intoned loudly. So here goes. I like that transitional note because, you know what, this doesn't walk the idea putting one off on another. This hits on that note of transcending the idea of religious intonations and going with something and the feel that it's supposed to emit, whether you walk that road or not is irrelevant, but you went and embraced it. I ask that your red and white suit spread like a blanket to cover those without. A great thought to open that that line of, so here goes, the thought of walking that note. But that second last stanza was really good because you offer up two notes, the belly laugh lightens broken hearts, the snow-kissed eyes to embrace the wounded child within. And I like that ending note, those last three lines, that your love for the mistress rains down like a tropical thunderstorm, soothing all from oppression's feet. I like the double note and intonation in that, the idea of the warmth offering up heat, offering up the notation to, the idea of oppression beating down on people. So the idea of the warmth, lightening that load, so to speak, that's what I'm trying to say. But anyway, you embrace this fully right down to the back end, that each turn of your reindeer sparks growth and fellowship, that every city fills with paternal light. So there is a nice heavenly note, even without walking one side or the other. It does speak religiously without slapping one upside the head with it, so to speak. And I don't know if that made any sense at all.
It did.
I'm glad you got some of it because I sure as hell didn't know where I was going. All right. Oh, Jean, you're back. I knew what I wanted to say. I just couldn't get the words out right.
That's a first. Richard, I thought this piece was gorgeous. I really did. Each stanza was brilliant, and I love the way you crafted it. You know, I liked them all, but I had to go with these two, and I'm pretty sure they've been quoted already. I asked that your red and white suit spreads like a blanket to cover those without. I ask for empathy to flow from the warmth of your ruddy cheeks to those huddling for shelter neath the rain of bombs. Beautiful thoughts, and I love how you crafted it. I really do. I like how you, as Naomi said, I like how you took each bit that, you know, you hear about Santa all the time, and you created something much larger from it. And I think that was very clever of you. So wonderful job with us. And thanks for writing for us, always.
Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you. Now, let me see. And for your gifts, your parting gift, no, your post-poem gift, I'm going to give you a piece to read. I'm going to ask you to read this piece for Thomas B. For Joy to Be Free by Thomas B. What does that even rhyme?
Okay, so, yep, this is Thomas B. For Joy to Be Free. We forget, as the seasons go by, why we choose to share the gifts life provides. There is an opportunity for so much loving, but instead we choose to hide in misery, to pull back from this thing called intimacy. There are those who are greedy, so we say it all too easy for us to fall prey. And we must always be on guard in every way. The rush of work, the scream of wants from every side. I love my child, but I sigh just for this moment. Let me be quiet inside. Things need washing. Floors must be cleaned. The roof needs repairing. And work is calling again. Where is the laughter and the moments for fun? A winter is empty. Only the evergreen is closed. The winds are blowing. I can hear the eaves scream. Summer is so far away. It feels like a dream. Someone was inventive. They knew what we all need. They recognized the heart is made for giving. We need love and kindness to be what we can believe. So they came up with Santa, a big man with a belly, a beard, and hair so white, he must be old and jolly. Christians have spiritual understanding, all understood how love and God have forgiven sinners and love the good. The sacred is important for all to see. Some find it in Christ. For others, it is the Christmas tree, the red berries on holly, the dreams hidden in mistletoe, the wonder and magic of snow. But everyone who has ever watched a child smile, that Santa and Christmas were invented for the child. We know the snow will melt, the tree will dry out, but we'll remember hearing a laughter and the child's shout. Santa was here. How did he do it? Leave all the presents. Know what I want, Mommy and Daddy? He remembered you too. Christmas comes but once a year, a time for giving, for loving those you hold dear. The laughter, the memory, soften the wind to a breeze, and somehow a warmth glows, even when the world outside is in a deep freeze. Santa is large with all we believe is good in giving, the joy we receive, magic and wonder mixed with glee. End of poem.
Great read, Richard. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Whoops. Off the mute button, on the mute button, off the mute button. Okay. Yeah, I really liked how Tom wrote this. You know, the joy, for joy to be free. You know, the joy of a child, you know, and all that, you know, that Santa represents to that child, You know, when he, in that, especially in that last stanza, when he says Santa, you know, it says the child shouts, Santa was here. How did he do it? Leave all these presents. Now know what I want. Mommy and Daddy, remembered you too. You know, and he shows us, you know, that Santa is really magical and enchanting through the eyes of a child. And, you know, he continues on, the laughter, the memories soften the wind or breeze. And somehow a warmth glows, even when the world outside is a deep freeze. Santa is large with all we believe, is good and giving, the joy we achieve, magic and wonder mixed with glee. You know, they're just wonderful lines all throughout. So well done, Tom. Beautiful, beautiful piece.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Lou, how about you?
Oh, I really, really love the way Richard read Tom's work. You know, I think this is a beautiful tribute to things that, you know, we don't always think about. Sharing, caring, simply giving, to hear, like Naomi was bringing up, the laughter, you know, of a child is a golden memory we carry. You know, you don't forget that. And, you know, you don't forget working together, cooking together, you know, each side of the world makes different dishes, even including the United States. You know, yeah, you do get the house ready, you do clean, you do all this work preparation, and it is work. But when you're working with your family and children, and you're teaching them, your grandparents, your great grandparents, those memories are never lost. The laughter is there. You know, for us, it was just, you know, like making tamales and, you know, making, you know, homemade food, cakes and enchiladas. And, you know, not everybody eats turkey and ham. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it is magic. It is magic, because I just hope that this message that he wrote in this poem, I wish we could remember this not just one day out of the week, but remember it all year.
Nice, Lou. Thank you very much. Dan, how about you?
I found this one interesting, the way it was constructed as well, because some parts seemed like it was really, I guess constructed is the right word, and then other parts seemed almost stream of conscious writing, and I really enjoyed the mixture of the two and how it went back and forth. It kind of created a flow, and it even breaks itself up with the lines here with the Christians have spiritual understanding. That almost brings in a whole, not separate, it's the same message, but it's another take on the same message, and it kind of breaks it up as well. So I thought the way it was constructed was really interesting, but there were some standout pieces in here as well too that kind of, it really hit home. Of course, with the Christmas theme, how, you know, it's just such a magical time that it and it is for the children, and it is, you know, that you, it's for the inner child as well, because it brings that out of us as it has tonight. But one part I really liked here was the rush of work, the screams of wants from every side. I love my child, but I sigh just for a moment. Let me be quiet inside. I think every parent has felt that. And, you know, that's all part of it too, because it's also a stressful time. But I just thought again, I like the way it was constructed. I found it very, very interesting. Well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. And Richard, how about you?
He said good night.
Oh, okay.
Good night, Richard.
Thank
Richard.
You very much, Richard. I got to get those first two stanzas kind of hit me with the idea of wake up and smell the roses. You know what time of year it is. Yeah, that hustle and bustle, the thought of work and everything else, you can put on hold when it comes to Christmas. Even if it bites at you, show the smile, as you put, Dan. Grab onto that inner child and let that run through, because it is about the children, because this walks mostly on that note of celebrating the children, bringing joy to them in the moment, sharing that that note of love, family, warmth, sharing, giving. So well done, Thomas. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. Dan, I have a question for you. Did you bring a piece for tonight? I don't see one on the board, and I don't see one.
I didn't tonight. Sorry. My stuff's
okay,
probably
that's okay.
A little more shallow than what we've been reading tonight.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it because I wouldn't want to do that to you. But
I came to hear everybody else's.
Yeah, this will happen if I have an answer. I have one that you can read for us. How's that?
I'm sure it'll be better.
I doubt that. I'm putting it right this second. This is called Christmas List by Cedar Chapman.
Okay, again, Christmas List by Cedar Chapman. White nails of rain and sleet pound upon his tattered toupee. Oh, I'm sorry. I've read that wrong. White nails of rain and sleet pound upon his tattered toque. He was born a ghost, a drifter left to walk alone on blackened soil. Each day, the same set of clothes wrapped his thin body, the frail twig who blended in school hallways and always seemed to forget to pack a lunch, the boy who hid in dark corners by scuffed lockers and amber classroom doors. Icy winds knife past his knotted beard as he sat glossy-eyed and cross-legged across the glass window of a donut shop. Christmas lights reflect off the wet pavement. Fuchsia, cobalt, and emerald streams bleed into copper and nickel coins. Staring upwards to the sky, he wondered if the comet's silver streaking across the black canvas was Saint Nick searching for him. He closed his eyes. One, a warm bed. Two, a hot shower. Three, grilled cheese and tomato soup. Four, to be seen and heard. Unwrapped Macy boxes drift past him to the beat of wool slacks and leather blundstones. The little drummer boy echoed and stopped, then echoed and stopped, again and again with each passerby opening and closing the door. The comet disappeared. He put a stick of gum in his mouth and closed his eyes, dreaming about his list. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Oh, this is so well written. You know, it's just a beautiful imagery all through. You know, just the way it flows too, and you know the emotion that comes out of it. You know, you imagine this young boy. It could be the writer. It could be Cedar. You know, describing himself. I don't know. I'm just saying that. But you know, just the idea of you know, a young boy there. You know, you see these children, you know, in the background, these introverted kids that don't have much and don't ask for much. You know, they're just having a warm bed, a hot shower, you know, a grilled cheese and soup, tomato soup. And the most important, probably, to be at least, you know, seen and heard for once. You know, that's so sad. And, you know, just the passing of the way he described the passing of the comet. I'm wondering if it was Saint Nick. And all through, just amazing, you know. He puts a gum in his mouth, he closes his eyes, dreaming about his list. Just beautiful, you know, a beautiful take on the little drummer boy here. Amazingly written by Cedar Chapman. So bravo.
All right, Naomi, thank you very much. Jean, how about you?
See, I had to do it again because I was on mute. What a Great Rite by Cedar. I think the thoughts wow, were so well expressed here. You know, it's heartbreaking. I mean, so many people are homeless these days, and so many people are in need. But the way this was presented, I thought was kind of stunning. You know, when he started talking about the sliver streaking across the black canvas with Santa searching for to find him, he closed his eyes and he thought of the four things. And I think that it was just, I don't know, it was just very well done. I thought it was kind of articulate. So great job, Cedar. And I want to thank you as always for sharing with us. Wonderful. And sad at the same time. Those last lines really are sad and disappointing. It's a letdown. The comma disappeared, put a stick of gum in his mouth, and closed his eyes, dreaming about his list. And the list really wasn't much, you know, when you think about it. Not much at all. Excellent job, Cedar. Thank you, as always.
All right. Thank you, Jean. Lou, you, how about you, doll? What do you think?
My goodness, this was deeply touching, because, you know, this isn't something that's just something that is recent. This is something we've seen through the times, where orphans and elderly people, you know, they don't wish for much. And that wish list is exactly what they wish for and hope for. And, you know, and especially during this time, you know, you can smell the fireplaces, you can smell things baking, you see the lights everywhere, whether it's in downtown or whether it's in the suburb. This is something that cannot not be seen by anybody. And, you know, and the same thing with these homeless people, you know, they don't ask for much. And, you know, I think this is hurtful because, you know, these type of people, just because they're not loud and fancy and have expensive clothes and have the best cars and have the best of everything, you know, they kind of get lost within the cracks of society. And then they grow up, and whatever they do, because of their personality, they're also lost in adulthood. And they tend to at times become homeless people, especially if they're military or they've been abused in a home. They run from their lives, and then they're put in a different situation like he brings up here. You know, they don't have a warm bed. They don't be able to take a shower. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have grilled cheese and tomato soup, I mean, how that is something that we ate as children and we still enjoy as adults. But, mm-hmm. And to be seen and heard, who does not want to be seen and heard? And so when, you know, you see somebody like that, and you can tell a homeless person from somebody who doesn't live in the street by the way they dress and where they are sleeping, it is apparent. There's nothing wrong with, you know, giving them some food, a meal, even if you, you know, don't have money. You know, just the simple act of giving them a banana. I mean, things that we take for granted, we shouldn't take for granted for those who are homeless and those who are on the street. Mm-hmm. Just like we said before, a simple act of kindness.
Nice, Lou. Thank you. And Dan, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, it was my pleasure to read it, and I want to thank Cedar Chapman for that. I think every single word of this, he probably stressed and, you know, poured over, is every little A should be there, the you know what I'm saying? You can tell, and it really shines through. I guess first going to his list, you know, that's just the bare essentials. And we're pack animals. We need to be loved and to love, you know. And so, you know, one might be one and two might be two, but all four of those are essential, the bare essentials. One thing that and I could pick it apart, you know, and just with the word choice. I could pick almost any line here, and it would be, you know, a great example of how he did this. But I just wanted to compare this really to I like a lot of music, and one artist that has always blown me away that writes in similar content is Jethro Tull. How it comes out beautiful, but he's singing about these dark, gritty things, but it comes out so beautifully sounding. And I think that Cedar Chapman accomplished that here. And I hope he takes that as a compliment, because it's meant as one.
Yeah, you hit on the thought of Aqualung with this piece. Well, anyway, that first big stanza, I think that's the teller right up front. He was born a ghost, a drifter left to walk alone on blackened soil. Each day, the same set of clothes wrapped his thin body. The frail twig who blended in school hallways and always seemed to forget to pack a lunch. The boy who hid in dark corners by scuffed lockers and amber classroom doors. So he was already out of place as a kid, the quiet one, the one nobody heard or noticed. And then you get down to those four things that he wants, a warm bed, a hot shower, a grilled cheese and tomato soup, to be seen and heard. That rolls right back to that stanza, because in youth, it's always that note, a child is meant to be seen, not heard. But as an adult, he wants to be seen and be heard as well, and he's not, because you look at that next stanza out, unwrapped Macy's boxes drift past him to the beat of wool slacks and leather blundstones. The little drummer boy echoed and stopped, again and again, with each passerby opening and closing the door. Yes, he's not seen, he's not heard. And then that almost woeful last three lines, a stick of gum, and close his eyes, dreaming about his list, single notes into a simplicity in the moment. Nice, Cedar. Thank you very much.
All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. The next piece, Naomi, can I get you to read it for me, please? This is Dear Santa by Naomi Sarah. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Okay, so dear Santa, you must be surprised. It's not every day you get a letter from an old girl like me. I'm not writing you today because I have things to ask you, but simply to say thank you. Thank you for being part of my life for all these years. You have always been special, even more so since I became a grandmother. Thank you for making our December both sweet and magical, for showing us that life is a lot more enchanting when we take the time to look at it with our children's eyes. May you help me teach my grandchildren to be amazed by all the little things, to teach them that giving is even much more fun than receiving, and that the day they realize that behind every bit of Christmas magic, there may not be a jolly old man with a white beard and red clothes. May they never have a doubt of my infinite amount of love for them. End poem.
Great. Great read, Naomi. Celebration on that one. And Dan, why don't we start with you, please?
That one was really touching, and you could tell it was really heartfelt when it was written. And biggest message that I got from it, of course, the last two lines, let them know, to never let them doubt that I love them. That is ultimately her wish. But I think everything that precedes that is basically her wishing that she could impart a lifetime of information and lessons and everything that she's learned and just give it to him, which what an awesome gift that would be. You know, and I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me, so it's really hard, but that's the gist I took away from it. And I actually think I caught that one better, maybe because I'm sitting down, but I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. How about you?
Well, Naomi, I thought this was great. You know, thank you for being part of... Wait, let me get back. My brain, I have to rewind a little bit. I'm not writing you today because I have things to ask you, but simply to say thank you. Thank you for being part of my life for all these years. You've always been special, even more so since I became a grandmother. Beautiful sentiments throughout this piece. And, you know, it is. You're writing a letter to Santa thanking him for all he's done through the years. And we all know that we all get something from the years of being Santa. We do. We take away so much more from filling those shoes as best we can. And I think it's wonderful. I love your take on it, and I think it was just very well done. Very well done. I think it's fabulous. So great job, Naomi. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean.
Nice, Jean. Lou, you. Where are you hiding?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm just, you know, I wrote in the comment, oh, Naomi, I must say I deeply love your poem and how you teach them to carry on traditions, to be giving and loving. Is the best present ever. You know, because, you know, holidays, family days, you know, this is a jumping point for young children to see people interacting and working together and loving the laughter, the mess, you know, the dirty fingerprints that, you know, you don't see on the wall because your children have grown up, and then the grandchildren come and there's those little dirty fingerprints again. And you know what? It's those memories that you build, and it's the little things that they do. And, you know, I have, you know, especially it says, you know, ever since I became a grandmother. But what I really love is, you know, how you said, help me teach my grandchildren to be amazed by all the little things, even much more fun than receiving. And I believe in that. Love, traditions, and giving are some of the greatest things you can teach children, even adults. You know, if they don't know how, it takes one person to set the example, and we hope that it just has a domino effect so that all of us can continue this tradition and teach others to be the same way, to carry it on. And this is beautiful. I loved it, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you, Lou.
Nice, Lou. I'll second that motion, but I'll add in a couple little tidbits. I like that open stanza because you dropped in a little bit of humor and self-deprecation with it's not every day you get a letter from an old gal like me. And then you wrote, you started it out with the right note. Yeah. It's been a long time, Santa, but this isn't one of those. This is the kind of thank you letter, because you also hit it, where was it? This stanza. Thank you for making our December both sweet and magical, for showing us that life is a lot more enchanting when we take the time to look at it with our children's eyes. So that there's a note in there that sort of wonder and awe once more, that you're looking through something that you used to cherish all those years ago, being the child and then raising your own, and now seeing it once more, reminding you that it does carry it forward. And that thought you offered up, may you instill in me or keep that thought going. I think you've already done that, because you're grinning with your eyes writing this, waiting for Christmas Day so you can sit and be with the grandkids and look at their faces and know, yes, there's still a touch of magic left in the world to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Jane. We're back at you.
Okie dokie. Let me see
then
now
what
I'm
doing.
You can
do one more.
If I ever have it. Yes, well, I'm hoping to get to it. Leo, I'm going to ask you to read this next one. This one is by A.R. Mundell, and it's called Wrap Too Tight.
Okay. Wrap Too Tight by A.R. Mundell.
if I could ask for one thing, I'd ask him to send my heart's deepest memories of you, start to end, to transplant those years and give them to you, because you always knew better just what to do. To taste my regret festered there like eclairs in the hamper of hope we made as a pair. To interrupt my words, which I fail to unwind, and know of my love, which you thought failed to find. But you walk with another, so Santa, please be kind. Forget what I asked. Leave it here in my mind.
Nice emotional read there, Lou. Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is beautiful by Amy. You know, that love, that longing for a loved one that she was so into, but is now walking with another. And, you know, that those ending lines, but please just, you know, be kind, forget what I asked, leave it here in my mind. Those lines are really hard-hitting. But, you know, I just love the word that you used, festered like eclair in the hamper of hope we made as a pair, as a pair, if you say it in French. But, you know, just amazing flow and rhyme all through this and, you know, just beautifully, beautifully written like Amy can do them. So bravo, Amy.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Dan, how about you?
Again, I'm not right in front of it. I'm so sorry. I did have to step away again. But I did key in on that one, a little bit of alliteration that I thought was really uniquely descriptive, the hamper of hope. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the rhythm and the flow. The overall feel of itself was so melancholy. And I think almost everybody has been in that position at least one time in their life. And I love how it's like, I only want one thing, but I want it to be all these things. But you know what? Never mind. I don't. I just want the memory. And I thought that overall it was just so well conceived and beautifully written. And I really enjoyed that.
Wonderful comment there, Dan. Thank you. All right, Lou, you got to read it.
This is something that, like Dan brought up, that we all have felt at some time or at one time, you know, where you love somebody so deeply and due to different reasons, which we never know why, you know, we didn't express them the way we wanted to. And when we look back, and we see this person that we loved with every being of our soul with somebody else, you know, you wish in some ways you could just say, well, let's look back at everything and let you look deep into my mind, into my heart to see how much I loved you. And, you know, those memories like she brings out here, you know, they're bittersweet. You know, an eclair is delicious, but when you're unhappy, it does not taste as good, okay? You know, and you know, you always hope that maybe they'll come back or maybe they'll see how much you love them. And, you know, of course that doesn't happen. And, but, you know, I could just see somebody literally in my mind. You know how you're writing a letter trying to tell somebody, and then you just crumble it up and you throw it away, and you have like 30 letters that you've tried to send, but to express what you really feel, but you know they've moved on, and you know it's so hard for you to move on. It's just deeply sad.
That it was. Thank you, Lou. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Wow. Well, I have one more I wanted to get in, but I don't know I don't know. Let me do it. The last one I'm going to put up is a piece I requested by Damn It Dave. And this was supposed to be on Wednesday's show. So, Dave, I don't know if you can hear me. Probably not. I apologize for putting you on so late. But I look forward to hearing it. So let me find the join and put it up. Oh, where did it go? Here it is. Okay. Rex, if I could ask you, would you please read this for us?
All right. Dandelions on the Breeze by Damn It Dave. If Santa gave me just one gift, I wish that it would be an end to suffering and pain for all humanity. There'd be no more disorders, no afflictions or disease. They'd simply fade away like dandelions on the breeze. There'd be no need for doctors, nursing homes or pharmacies. Not even common colds would thrive and man can rest at ease. So Santa, if you're listening to what I've just confessed, please grant my altruistic gift and let the world be blessed. And Paul. Lou,
lovely reader.
You get first dibs.
You know, there's just something about Damn It Dave's poetry. It just rolls beautifully across the tips of your lips, and you did such a beautiful job in reading it. You know, and I wish this gift, you know, too, that it's in my heart that, you know, hopefully one day we won't have to suffer anymore and that humanity won't be having to deal with all these issues that just literally plague us. And especially now that we know that so many people can't afford their medication, you know, and families are suffering, to put just a simple plate on the table. And I really love that he said this, you know, a big heart of somebody who wishes so much good for everybody else. And this is a lovely, lovely poem.
Nice, Lou. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this is beautiful. I just love, you know, that stanza there, you know, there'd be no more disorders, no afflictions or disease. They'd simply fade away like dandelions on the breeze. That's so beautiful. But, you know, just amazing, lovely sentiments all throughout this poem. So well written. Bravo, Dave.
Excellent. Dan, how about you?
I didn't see it posted on there, and I'm sorry, I was in transition getting back to the PC. And then I got lost on Dave's page, and he's got some really good ones on here. I'm following him now, by the way. I'm sorry, I can't comment on the whole. I am going to have to get going here in a minute, too. So I just wanted to tell everybody happy holidays, and thank you so much for everything that y'all do. Look forward to more. So everybody have a good night.
Thank
okay?
you so much.
Yes,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It was great to have you. Join us anytime. Thank you. You
good
too.
Night, Dan.
Night.
All right, Jean. I guess what to you?
Well, you know, I thought that this was just a beautiful write by Dave. Heartwarming and wonderful thoughts. There's so much compassion for others in this write. I wanted to quote a stanza, and I couldn't stop myself. I started to read, and I'm like, well, I'm only on stanza 3. I mean, and stanza 4 is excellent. So where do you go from here? You know, if Santa gave me just one gift, a wish that it would be an end to suffering and pain for all humanity. I mean, really, that's a lot right there. So Santa, if you're listening to what I've just confessed, please grant my altruistic gift and let the world be blessed. This is fabulous, right? And it was so fitting to tonight's contest and tonight's show that we really, you know, I really wanted it on Friday. So wonderful job, Dave, and thank you as always. Damn it, Dave, you got me again. That's what I'm going to say about that. So thanks.
I did like that one line, the title, and that line, that second, they simply fade away like dandelions on the breeze. That note to the disappearance of that which ails everyone, just blown away like dust in the wind. I like that that tone of phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are at the end of, so I guess it's the call for you to say goodbyes.
I have to say that we're carrying an entire show forward, not intentionally. We have about 16 pieces to carry over, so I'm not 100% positive. I know we have an open space on the After Midnight show tomorrow night, and I think Rex has a little bit of room on his Sunday show. So if you didn't hear it tonight, I'll send out a notice as to what – I'll put up a topic board with the list of all the poems that we do tomorrow night if we can pull it together. And if not, I'll tell you where to look for the next one. Excellent poetry all night long. Thank you, everybody who called in. Dan, it was a treat to have you. Richard, wonderful to have you as well. Miriam, thank you for calling in. Tim, thank you for reading for Miriam. Lex, as always, thank you for being my co-host. Much appreciated, for sure. Naomi, I was good to see you tonight. I wasn't expecting you until the last minute, and I saw you put the poem up. So that was a nice treat. Lou, it's always great to have you join us. And
I was happy to be here. Love you guys.
I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Yeah, I hope everybody enjoyed the show as much as I did. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Feliz Navidad.
And God bless us all.
Joyeux Noël. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
God bless everybody for the holiday season and for always. Take care.